CliffCentral.com. We got to move on to Collectomania, and this is my favorite part of a Monday morning. It's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. We're going to speak to someone this morning called Robbie Carlos. He collects playing cards from various trading card games, and he has tens of thousands of these things. So he is a serious, serious collector. Mm. And we'll show you a couple of pictures of those too. He started collecting cards around 2009, but he's only been a serious collector for about 8 years. Let's meet the man. Hey, Robbie, how are you?
How's it going, everyone? How are you?
Nice to see you. You laughing because of the conversation we were having before you came on?
Yes.
Oh, don't worry. It's
This
is what we do every. This is what we do every morning on the show. I promise you. There's nothing. There's nothing strange about us talking about this weird shit.
My friends and I have had weird conversations. Don't worry about it.
So, Robbie, tell us about your card collection and where it all started.
Yeah, so like you said, I started collecting in around 2009. It's the earliest I could throw back my mind to. Mm-hmm. I was vaguely around this time in South Africa, the trading card game Yu-Gi-Oh! Released. I remember leaving class in primary school, going to my mom's car, and she had a packet with her that she just handed to me. Said nothing, she just handed it to me.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Remind me about Yu-Gi-Oh! Again. I don't know what that is. Sorry, I'm out of it when it comes to this stuff. So you're going to have to take me through baby steps on this stuff.
That's fine. So Yu-Gi-Oh! Is probably, if I'm not mistaken, one of the more major Japanese trading card games that came mm-hmm. over to the Western regions. It was a TV show that aired on SABC a while back as well. It's basically a show about a guy who gets possessed by an ancient Egyptian pharaoh to mm-hmm. plays card games. But when he plays the cards, the monsters come to life. So the show is wild. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
But yeah, that's like the basic. I don't know. It's a piece of cardboard with art that has information on it. It's not really much more to say about it other than that. Yeah, it's a strategic card game. There's quite a few of them. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just one of what we refer to as.
I mean, don't get me too much into the reeds here, but like, how does the game itself work? Sorry. Because have you ever played the game, or do you just collect the cards?
So I've been a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player for roughly, give me a moment, roughly about, it was in my trick when I started playing again. Let's say roughly about 8 years as well. So also when I started collecting majorly again.
Okay.
I then started attempting competitive play, like going to actual tournaments for like regional qualification.
Wow.
Which is where a whole bunch of people get together, we play against each other, and then I think if I'm not mistaken, it's the top three. The winner of that qualifier stands a chance to go to the international championships, which are like in Germany, Japan. It switches every year, so it determines.
That's impressive stuff.
To play against people from around the world.
So you're not just some amateur who's like buggering around on the sides here. You take this seriously, and you obviously know what you're doing.
Well,
no, this is impressive. No, own it, dude. I love this. No, this is very cool. For people who don't know what the stuff is, and we'll start with Yu-Gi-Oh, which honestly I didn't know about before. But now you're telling me that this stuff, you can enter tournaments and competitions, you can win things, you can travel the world. I mean, this is pretty wild. This is amazing. I'm very impressed with this. So, Robbie, how many cards do you reckon you have altogether in your collection? Because I mentioned in the intro tens of thousands.
So the reason I told you guys tens of thousands is because I actually can't give you a physical count. Because if I had to have gone to count my cards, it probably would have taken me a month. Because I have boxes upon boxes of just cards sitting, like in cupboards, in a shelf. Because you don't use every card you own.
Right.
So in trading card games, you're split into like, I'd say three camps. You've got the collectors, which they literally just collect the cards, nothing more, nothing less. You've got the player base, which is you actually perform the card game portion of the trading card game. Mm-hmm. And then you get what's called vendors, which are people that buy the cards and then sell them when they either increase in value,
right,
or they just find a really rare card on the cheap and then flip it for more expensive. So like those are like the three stereotypical camps.
So we know
I'm a player, so I just bought products and kept buying.
Okay, so you don't try to sell any and you don't really care if you want to open them up and play with them. You don't want to like store them up. I mean, is there any card there that is there any card that you've got that you will not use because you know it's too valuable and you'd rather try and sell it someday?
There are a lot of cards that I have that are relatively high in price, and some of them I'm waiting on because they're still accruing value.
Yeah.
One of the images I sent you guys is like three cards on a table specifically.
Yeah, got it. Over here.
These three cards over here.
Okay, tell us what these
cards I'm showing right now are two Digimon. All right, cool. So I've got two Digimon cards with me and one Yu-Gi-Oh card with me. Mm-hmm. And they're all in what's referred to as a top loader. So this is basically a hardened plastic case just to keep the cards from getting damaged in any way, shape, or form, whether it's by liquid falling on them, dust, anything. Nothing's going to happen to these cards as long as they're in here. The one card is a this is going to be jargon, so
I'm all ears. We've heard, believe me, we had a guy on here who collects plastic apes. We had someone on who collects like Barbie dolls and Barbie doll clothes. So trust me, this is not weird. You're not the weirdest person. Trust me, you're all good.
Great, yeah. So the one, so if anyone's watching on YouTube, the center one, and for the listeners, I'll explain what it is. The center one is in what's referred to as an ultimate rare Dark Requiem XYZ dragon. But it's the Japanese printing of the card. The reason I got it was because it's the highest rarity of the card. And it's one of my favorite cards. It was in a deck that I actually played. So I just wanted like all the versions of it. So I've got a normal version of it. I've got a super version. I've got a rare version. I've got a secret rare version. And then this is the highest rarity version.
So how did you get hold of that? Did you buy that online in like an auction, or did you buy it off a website? Did you buy it from a trader? Like, how do you get your hands on something like that?
So there are two really good websites you can go to buy trading cards. One's called TCG Player. And the other one's called Troll and Toad. They are basically market websites where vendors, for example, will go and sell their cards for X amount of value.
Okay.
You'll purchase them and then they'll be shipped to you. Conversely, you can go to card shops or local game stores, LGSs, and some of them will have like individual cards for sale that they've opened. Because sometimes a card store will open a box themselves and just separate the cards and sell the individuals instead of selling just a whole box of cards.
Okay.
So those are a few ways you can buy cards. Otherwise, it's pretty much everyone opening boxes, and then if you don't get something, you trade for someone who did get it. Otherwise, you're going to have to buy it.
So that first one that you told us about, that middle one that's rare, the Japanese version that you've got there, what is that worth? Do you know?
This thing, I bought it, I think if I'm not mistaken, for $1. And it hasn't accrued much value. This thing I think is about $5 at most. But the issue with trading card games is if it's not an old card, which then has accrued rarity by virtue of being old and unable to find now, this is where the game aspect comes in. Cards' values are given to them by us, the players, on the secondary market. So the main company that sells the game just sells the boxes, don't give a shit about the individual cards. This is the box's value, go for it. Here's the cards. The player base gives cards values based on how important they are to the game in its current standpoint. So whatever card is being most used in the game currently is the most expensive card.
Now, you mentioned
if that card, for whatever reason, falls out of favor, it loses that.
It loses value. All right, so you mentioned Digimon. Is that different to Pokemon? What's the difference?
Yes. So Digimon is a new card game that was released in 2020. Very bold move by the company, I know. And it was distributed throughout, but unfortunately South Africa did not get, was not on the list to be distributed to.
No.
I have ordered individual cards myself in my personal capacity, and I am slowly with a whole bunch of people from different card shops all over South Africa trying to build the game in the country and get maybe someone to import it in.
Okay.
And I think it's the game I've spent the most money on ever in my life.
How much do you reckon you've spent
to an insane degree?
How much do you think you've spent on it?
Digimon, in the last 2 year, last year, because I started only at the start of this year, I would wager close on 30 Gs.
30,000 Rand. Now, you know what? I mean, yes, what else do you work for? I mean, this is the you know, this is the funny thing about collectors, and I say this as one, and I know, Leanne, you've got a little collection of something. Mash, you might have a collection of something for all we know. It might be weird. It might be strange. It might be a thing that just you care about. But the fact is, this is why we work. I mean, beyond the like basics of like you have to eat, you have to have a nice, warm place to sleep, you have to be able to pay your bills. Beyond that, what else do you have money for if not to collect weird things, things that interest you? If you've spent 30 grand on your hobby, I don't see anything wrong with that. There's a market for this stuff. And thank God for it, because probably you spending that 30,000 Rand has kept a whole bunch of other people in business who can now do all the basics that they need to pay for. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you have family members or friends who look at you, you know, in a strange way because you spend money on stuff like this?
Not really, because I've been the oddball for like my whole life. So my family's kind of used to it.
Yeah.
But I also kind of, I have one uncle who really vouches for me a lot. And the way he and I kind of rationalize it to people is it's very simple. Like a lot of things you collect, sometimes you don't get to use. I use my cards every Saturday. I actually go to a store and I actually play the games. So I actually have usage for the cards that I own. And also there's the aspect of I can resell it later. So those 30 Gs I spent now, for all I know, I could sell one card and make half of that back. Because that does happen.
Sure.
Like, insanely, that does happen. There was a Pokemon card. It was a Shadowless Charizard. Well, it's referred to as a Shadowless Charizard. It's a first edition Charizard card that has a printing error on it. So they the printer didn't print a portion of the artwork. Or they put the wrong artwork into the printer. I can't remember what the full thing is. But if you have one of those, it can sell for tens of thousands of dollars. And I think on auction, one sold for something crazy. It was like something mad, like $50,000 or some shit like that. It was crazy. Like it's one of the most expensive cards to have been sold individually by itself.
Phenomenal.
So if you have something like that or something accrues to that value, you've made what you've lost.
So yeah, sure.
That's how
do you do you belong to like groups on social media that all collect or play or trade?
Yeah, well, I don't personal thing. I don't partake in social media. Oh. I have accounts, but I don't partake. Like I don't participate.
Right. So you just you're there, but you're not you're like commenting and leaving. You know, you're okay.
Yeah. I lurk. I lurk. I don't participate.
That's all right. It's probably safer.
And there are Yu-Gi-Oh! South Africa, Pokemon South Africa. Yeah. There's a Digimon South Africa group. There's even trading groups specifically for if you want to sell and distribute your cards. Mostly it's on Facebook, though. So if, if you're looking for somewhere to go, anyone in the audience, you can go to Facebook. And if you search any of the card games' names, something will probably pop up.
All right. So there's another part of this that has nothing to do with the game, the actual playing of the game, that has nothing to do with the value of the cards. Some of it has to do with the art. I mean, some of these cards are very, very beautifully made. I mean, there's someone who's spent an enormous amount of time, who's been paid to draw, paint, to create, either digitally or otherwise, a beautiful work of art. And each of these cards represents, you know, like a tiny little picture of something truly magnificently designed.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason you collect too, right?
Yeah, some of them even go further. In Yu-Gi-Oh! There's a series of cards called Albaz and the Dogmatica Story, because they're a series of individual cards that each do their own thing. But in the artworks of the cards, you can see as they release a new one, a sort of story unfolding. They don't disclose like a full, like, here's what the story is. Hmm. But if you put cards next to each other in a certain order, you start to see an order of things happening in the artworks. Like, oh, here's a battle. And then all of a sudden you see a person on the floor defeated with someone standing on top of them. And if you look in the previous card, you see the two fighting on a battleship, for instance. So like, if you, certain games do weave card artwork into each other to form like this undisclosed story, kind of like an Easter egg for the player base to kind of slap together and find. So we put the puzzle together, they just provide the pieces. And for me, that's amazing. Like, I love it when a certain series of cards does that. For me, I like to collect those ones because I'm just like, I have the full storyline.
That's beautiful.
I like it when I have like the whole
You've got enough cards now that you've collected these albums that you can actually display them in, which helps too, because then you can, you know, you can look at them. You can show them off.
Yeah,
They're protected under the plastic. They're not in those hard plastic cases that the very expensive ones would be in. But this is pretty cool because then you can display them. You've got them organized, filed neatly. You could put them away. You know where everything is.
Yeah.
Because there are obviously boxes and boxes, as you said, of cards that you still haven't sorted out, that you haven't got a place for. So it's nice to see that some of them are sorted out like this. How do you decide which ones go in the files?
Yes. The viewers, the listeners won't be able to see it, but for the binder on the far left, bottom of the screen, that's my Digimon binder. That entire binder is Digimon. It's 31 pages of 18 pockets with two cards in each pocket. So
sure.
If someone wants to do the math, they can go for it.
No.
But that binder this binder alone is probably also like thousands of cards.
Is it possible to collect them all, or do they keep on bringing out new cards so it's never possible for you to catch up and actually have the whole lot?
Probably not possible if you're jumping into a game that's been like long established, because then there's too much that is gone. And also, the older it is, the more expensive it gets. So it's not like you'll be able to just buy the individual cards, because one card alone might break the bank. So it's only really possible if you've...
Now, Leanne and Mash, do you...
started with the game and continually collected with it.
Leanne and Mash, do you even understand what we've been talking about, Robbie and I? Because, of course, I know all about Digimon and Pokemon and, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And all that stuff. I know all of this, but clearly I feel like we're leaving you two out. I feel like you don't know what we're talking about here. It's a high-level conversation just Robbie and I can understand.
Feel free to jump in with questions.
No, I actually know exactly what Robbie's talking about, but I do just have one question. What is the difference between Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh! What is it called?
Yeah, you see, you don't know a damn thing, Mash. You don't know anything. You're trying to embarrass. He's embarrassing himself. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's fine. It's a standard first question for someone wanting to get into trading card games. They're all separate games, so they're all different collections. A lot of them are based off. A lot of card games start off TV shows. So like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, I know, were on SABC.
Yes.
I think Digimon first was on Fox Kids, if anyone in SA remembers that. Throwback.
No.
So they normally start out as TV shows, and then someone has the idea to build like their own uniqueness to them, but you'll stand up find similarities between,
Yu-Gi-Oh! All right, very good.
Anyone remembers the theme song? But yeah, all the games kind of like these are tried and true kind of rules.
Wow.
Leanne, I know you've just started your collection, so would you like some tips on how to move forward from Robbie?
I was definitely one of those kids who, You know, we used to play that game where you tap the card with your hand to try and flip it over and win it. I mean, in those days, it was it the Tiger Cats or whatever they were called?
Thundercats.
The Thundercats, thank you. And I certainly beat some of the older boys at the school, so I was quite into that. But I think at some point for me, because I do have this tendency to become hyper-obsessed with things once I found out about them, and I'll want to research everything on them, that I've had to edit how much I'm willing to take in. So anything that's sort of animated or fantasy, I've kind of put in a box and said, okay, don't go down that route, because otherwise you won't have any time of your day left. So it is, and the same goes for things like coffee, you know, becoming involved in coffee beans and percolating and all the rest of it.
You're into all of this shit. You're just pretending. You think you're too cool. Carl says, you know what? Mash starts the show by lying about being a Banyana fan, and he ends the show lying about Digimon like he's pretending. Cater deployment. I agree. Mash, you got to stop bullshitting us, man. We could see through your lies. The lies and the lies. And I mean, look at Robbie. He's not convinced by any of your bullshit.
That's just gonna be bad, but I feel
clearly. So, Robbie, what's your day job? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So I'm a graphic designer for Comic-Con Africa. So
amazing!
Oh, wow.
You can kind of maybe see where the influence came from for my job.
All right. So does all of this stuff?
I've always been the cartoon guy.
Does all of this fit into like the whole Comic-Con thing? I mean, is Comic-Con? Is this part of what you guys do at Comic-Con? Because that's pretty wild then, because then you're working in the perfect field. This is exactly what you should be doing. Yeah.
It's the greatest nerd job in the world. Yeah, we have a tabletop zone at Comic-Con every year where people can go and play the games or learn to play the games. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn to play some of the games I've mentioned, you can go to Comic-Con and there'll be an area specifically dedicated to teaching.
Amazing.
That's so learning. Is
if you
so
ever want to learn how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon, come on down.
Right.
It's so daunting to even consider trying something like this. You know, I'd be petrified of someone who'd been in the game for years laughing at a mistake that I'd made. So that's really cool that there's a learning opportunity.
So the community tends to be very welcoming to new players. Like, I can tell, like, it doesn't matter which community. We tend to be very welcoming, because the issue with a lot of card games is we're an aging hobby, because we started when they launched and we just kept going, and games have gone progressively harder as they've gotten older, because obviously you can't do the same thing all the time.
Sure.
You have to mix it up. So they've made the game harder, the rules get longer, it's harder to teach someone. So when someone does approach us, majority of gamers will open arms. Like, I've handed people cards and they've been like, cool, how much do I owe you? I'm like, just take the cards, start your collection, get going, come every weekend, learn to play. You don't have to pay for the tournament and play yourself. Just watch us play, ask us questions, and we'll go.
That's nice.
Most card shops are very welcoming, and that's it.
And is it a huge, is it a big community in South Africa? Sorry, Mash. Are there a lot of people involved?
I guess. So, Magic is probably one of the biggest, because it's the oldest running Western card game. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people that do that. And then Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, I would say, a really close contending second, like for that first place spot. Because, for instance, we had that regional qualifier I spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. where they could earn the right to go to the World Championships. We had a 121-man tournament 2 months ago. That was in Joburg, and then there was another one in Cape Town, another one in, I think, Durban as well.
Right.
Also 100-man tournaments, all people vying for a spot. So yeah, there's plenty of us around. We're just very quiet on a table, just playing with cardboard.
I love it.
We're not making a lot of noise.
No, dude, I love this stuff. This is my favorite thing, because if you talk to someone who's passionate about something, you talk to someone who really loves something, It feels to me like it's infectious, even if it's something you don't know anything about. Like, I'm not embarrassed by it, but I'm like, it's a world I know nothing about. And when I hear you talk about it, it just makes me excited, because I get excited about stuff that nobody else cares about, right? So it shows you that you're not alone in this world.
I'm happy. Like, if If it gets people interested, it's all that matters, like, really. Like, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't like it, it's fine. Thank you for trying. And if you ever reconsider, come on back.
You wanted to ask something, Mash? Nothing I interrupted more, you. More. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry about that.
You're not going to lie again and say that you've got all these Yu-Gi-Oh cards that you've got.
I have the whole collection. I'm just kidding. No, I just wanted to find out. So if I want to get into this now, is it a must for me to actually watch the TV shows? So watch Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Pokemon, or can I just jump straight into it?
You can just jump straight into the game. So all the shows have done is show you characters that the cards embody. Like, you don't need to know any of the characters to read the card and know what it does within the game. So it's not a prerequisite to have watched all the shows, because if that were the case, there would be even less players. So you could just show up to a shop, learn how to play the game, and just start playing the game. If you don't know a character, then people will just tell you, oh, it's from this series of the season of the show. Like, it's not necessary though.
Well,
sweet.
I love that you've been able to share this with us, because I'm sure that there are lots of people who are involved. And if you're not involved in this community, it sounds like it's very welcoming and very friendly. It sounds like a fun thing to do. And it's also, it doesn't matter how extroverted or introverted you are. There's a place for you and your collections. I like that you shared it with us this morning. Robbie, it's very cool to meet you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks.
No, it's cool to meet all of you too. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. Nice to see you, and we'll hopefully catch up soon.
All right, cool.
Cool. There he is. That's Robbie Carlos and his collection of cards, tens of thousands of cards. Whew, I think we've discussed this on the show before, but there's a line between like collecting and hoarding. And sometimes I feel like I'm on this side of the line, and sometimes I feel like I'm on that side of the line with stuff that I'm collecting. But at least with cards, they don't take up a huge amount of space. Like, they're this thin, and you put them in boxes, and, you know, if you've got stuff that takes up a lot more space, or it's heavy or whatever, that's a bit of a problem, especially
like
when you run out of...
like
airplanes and cars. And, I mean, cars, you need a lot of space to collect cars.
Yachts.
If you know anyone who has a cool collection, well, then let us know about it, because we are coming to a close soon with Collectomania, but we would like to know if there are any other great collections in South Africa so we can keep it going. Maybe there's a season two in the works. We'll have to see how that goes. The South African Gold Coin Exchange are the people who bring you Collectomania, as well as the Scoin Shop. Go and check them out today at scoinshop.com. That's coinshop with an S at the front of it, .com. Scoinshop.com. All right, that's all we got time for today in Collectomania. And we would like to hear from you. If you've got any feedback on the show, anything you'd like to hear more of, anything you'd like us to do, any people you'd like us to talk to, let us know, and we'll talk to you on contact@cliffcentral.com, or you can message us during the show, and we respond to as many of those as we can. The emails, you always get a response. Thanks to Robbie for sharing his collection with us. cliffcentral.com